If you would, let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this holy night. And Father, as we look out to our culture, or even as we live in a culture that is increasingly more and more post-Christian, there is still something holy about this night. So we thank you, Lord, that we as your church can come and to worship you. So we pray that as on this holy night that you'd speak to us as these hymns are sung, as your scripture has been read, as well as your word proclaimed. In Christ's name, amen. Some of you may be familiar with the story of a woman who went to a post office to buy some stamps for Christmas. She said to the clerk, she says, "May I have 50 Christmas stamps?" The clerk said to her, "What denominations?" The woman said, "Good Lord, has it come to that?" She says, "Okay, give me 6 Catholics, 12 Presbyterians, 10 Lutherans, and 22 Baptists." You know, it never ceases to amaze me that right now, think about it. I didn't really think about it much as a child. But if you think about it, right now across the world, that there's a holy night to be worshipped among Christians. Every nation, and yes, even every denomination, every people's groups, ages, races, languages, are right now bowing down, worshiping the Savior. You know, in John 3:16, it says that God so loved the world that he gave his Son. A lot of people are confused on what that word world means. What it means is this: that God has taken his grace that was exclusively to the people of Israel, and now God has expanded his grace to all peoples and all nations and all languages. That in Scripture, when it refers to the world, it refers to what's going on now tonight. Oh, holy night. All throughout the world, people are bowing down and worshiping this babe in a manger. You know, Christmas Eve, of course, means different things for different people. If you're a child, I'm sure Christmas Eve means something different, waiting for Santa. I remember as a child, this was my favorite time of the year. Our family would go to a Chinese restaurant and we would eat, and my parents would go there before we were born as kids. We were dating. And then we'd go around to my grandparents and visit them. And those days have changed. My grandparents have all passed but one. As well as that Chinese restaurant, after all these years, just closed down a few months ago. But as a child, I had fond memories of that. And you know, even as adults, we have different expectations, don't we? For us, what does Christmas mean? Think about this. What is your expectation this evening? Why have you come to worship Christ the Lord? There was a lady, a mother, an unknown mother. She didn't sign her name. She had a prayer request to God. And listen to her prayer request. She said, "Dear God, I've been a good mom all year. I've fed, I've cleaned, I've cuddled my 2 children on demand. I've visited the doctor's office more than the doctor. I sold 62 cases of candy bars to raise money for the kids, as well as I've figured out how to attach 9 patches onto my daughter's Girl Scout sash with staple and a glue gun." She says, "Dear God, I was hoping you could spend or spread my list out throughout Christmases. She says, I write this letter with my son's red crayon on the back of her seat of a laundry room between cycles. And who knows when I'll find any time in the next 18 years to write. Here are my Christmas wishes. And this unknown mother dispenses with a list fit for Santa Claus. And then she ends with this, P.S. One more thing. You can cancel all of my requests if you can keep my children young. Oh, that would be nice, wouldn't it? Parents, enjoy your children, the age that they are now. Before you know it, it'll be over. But isn't it true? We always want to keep our children young forever. Forever believing that the world is a place filled with beauty, a world filled with love, a world filled with joy, a world filled with peace. We know that, unfortunately, our children have to grow up and experience a world, yes, of beauty, but also ugliness. A world, yes, of love, but also full of hate. A world of joy, but also a world of hopelessness. A world of peace, yes, but unfortunately a world of conflict. And we want so badly, we're so tempted to protect our children from that. And that's understandable. But you know, there's another temptation that we have to guard ourselves against. And that is to keep the babe in the manger forever young. In other words, stopping it right here. This is about the extent of our worship of the Savior. The temptation is to come to church on Christmas Eve and worship this babe and then return to the real world. The real world lives and to ignore the fact that the babe in the manger, he grew up to be a man. He became a man who turned over money changers' tables in the temple, a man who grew up with the zeal of God. He was a man who lived his life for others. He was a man who loved the lovable as well as the unlovable. A man who cleansed the leper. A man who washed the feet of his disciples, teaching them humility. And ultimately, don't forget this, he was a man who came and he gave his life. He gave his life for the ungodly. Look at your neighbor. We're all ungodly without Christ. And he came for the ungodly. And the scripture says that on the third day after he had died, he was raised from the dead to confirm all that he said and all that he did. There is the temptation to forget that this man Jesus calls us to follow him year around, not just Christmas, who calls us to love our enemies, calls us to do good to those who mistreat us, calls us as Christians to live according to the kingdom ethic, where we're called not only to love our friends, but even love our enemies. You know, it's all right to be sentimental when it comes to our children, when we want to keep them small. But it's not all right if we want to forever keep the Christ child small. Why would we want to do that? Why would we want to keep Christ small as a baby in the manger? Well, so he won't inconvenience us, so that he won't make demands on our lives. Beloved, if you have come in contact with Christ, he always has demands for us. He always changes us. Beloved, if you have not been changed, you have not seen Christ. Why do I say that? Well, in Luke's version of the Christmas story, and the stories that we've really been reading all year up to this point, We're told that some shepherds were living out in the field near the place where the baby Jesus was to be born. These shepherds were minding their own business. They weren't like us, looking for the Christ. But they were doing their own thing. And the scripture says that all of a sudden an angel of the Lord appeared to these shepherds. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for I bring to you good news that will cause great joy for all the peoples. Today in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. And this will be the sign. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And Scripture says, then suddenly a great company, the heavenly host, appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." Think about that. When the angels had left, when they had gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem. Let us go and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." And so they hurried off. And as the text tells us, they found Mary. They found Joseph. And they found the baby who was lying in the manger. You know, I don't know about you, but I am sure I would have loved to have been there that night to hear those angels for the first time. What an amazing sight. What an amazing sound. You know, we hear that today, don't we? There's nowhere you can walk today where you won't hear music. Music on the streets, music on the airports, walking alone. People are listening to music. Some people are listening, believe it or not, to even religious music. Some are listening to church hymns, and many more are listening to contemporary Christian praise songs. But of all the music, of all the iPads and iPods in all the world, cannot compare to that one holy night where the angels said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." No wonder. No wonder then the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." And so they went. They went to where the angels had told them, and they saw the Christ child. And they were amazed. You know, the shepherds weren't looking for God. God came looking for them. The shepherds weren't like the Magi who studied the sky and the stars, who were looking for a glimmer of hope. Scripture says that the shepherds, completely out of the blue, the Lord appeared. And all of a sudden the angels came. They burst on the scene. Well, that's the way of life, isn't it not? We're minding our own business, doing our own thing, and all of a sudden, God bursts on the scene. Sometimes we find God, or let me say this, that's not very reformed. Better yet, God finds us when we are searching Him. Amen. Some of you here this evening are searching God. My friend, if you are searching God, it's because He's already sought you. My friend, if you are searching God, it's because He has sought you and loved you and He has died for you. This evening, Christ can be your Lord. You may be like the shepherds who were minding their own business. You may be just coming here tonight to be with family, to do what we Christians do in the Western world. But tonight may be the time that the visitation of the Lord has come to you. If so, turn to God. Turn to Him and repent and believe that He is the King, that He has come to die for your sins. Now others of you may have come for the carols. You may come this evening with your families in a very safe, a very loving place. Or maybe you have come to simply keep the warm glow of Christmas season alive just a little longer. It's hard to believe it's almost over, right? But you've come just to hold on for a few more minutes. My prayer is this, that whatever your reason for being here, something might happen this night that will cause you to hear anew, to hear the voice of the angels saying, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news. Good news that will cause great joy for all the peoples. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He, Christ, is the Messiah, and this will be the sign. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And then suddenly, I hope you will hear in the quietness a great company of heavenly hosts say, with the angels, praising God, "Glory to God in the highest heavens, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." And I hope, more than anything, that you will leave this place a changed person. That is my prayer for you on this holy night. Let us pray. Father God, as we come on this holy night and as we come to light our candles, that we will be mindful of why your Son came, that you, Lord Jesus, came to a dark world, a world of darkness that hated the light, and that you came to this world not to judge the world, because as we are reminded in John 3, the world already stands in judgment. But you have come to bring light to darkness. So we thank you, Lord, that you have done that. That in the midst of all the hopelessness in our world, we thank you, Lord, that we have you to look to. Not just on this holy night, but on every night. We thank you. And we give you praise. Amen. And amen.